version of Canon D?
It was just a duet.
Yeah. It sounded like Canon D.
It was Canon and D.
Okay. That's a beautiful song. It really is used in weddings and different versions of services and so forth. Very good. Great.
It's hard to play.
It is hard. That's why it takes two on the piano, right? No, both of you do great. That was a wonderful arrangement. Appreciate it. All right. Now we will look at the last portion of the Lord's Prayer. I don't know about you. I've enjoyed these three series of messages just on the Lord's Prayer. And today, as I was thinking about the last few verses here of the Lord's Prayer, it went right along with the song, Praise Him, Praise Him, Praise Him, because it is a part of what we are to be doing when we worship the Lord and when we are praying to the Lord. We are to praise His holy name. So the latter part of this message will be pointed in that direction. So let us look again. I'll be looking at 12 through 15, but I want to go back and start with verse 9 because this is an important passage of Scripture, and it is the Lord's Prayer, a model prayer, and something we need to probably just read on a weekly basis in your private time along with the Lord, your devotion. So let's look at verse 9, Matthew chapter 6. Pray then in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others for your transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. That's a profound statement there. And something that is sometimes hard to do, isn't it? But we'll talk about that later. But let's move on into our introduction of this particular passage of Scripture we'll be looking at, the verses, latter verses 12 through 15. So in this message this morning, we're going to be looking at the last part, as I said a few minutes ago, of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus points out another common error concerning prayer when it says praying with sin in the heart. You know, God will not hear. He will not pay attention to our prayers if there's sin in our lives and we're coming before Him with an unforgiven spirit. God wants us to come with Him wholeheartedly, no sin, but totally focused upon our personal relationship with Him, our humbleness before Him, in a way that He will act upon our prayers. So God does not forgive us because we forgive others, but on the basis of the blood of Christ. And in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we are willing to confess our sin and repent of them, He will forgive us of our unrighteousness. That's John 1:9. So when we're looking at that verse and others I'll be sharing with you this morning, unforgiving spirit will hinder a prayer. Actually, Paul in Ephesians says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. And so if we hinder This will hinder our prayer life and show that a person has no understanding of God's grace. God gives us grace every day, doesn't he? We're here because of God's grace this morning. He allowed us to be here, get here safely. Now, going back to the Lord's Prayer, this is a model for us to use to learn to pray. The disciples, they wanted to know how to pray. They listened to Jesus. They saw him in action. And they knew when he prayed, the Heavenly Father granted him his prayers. And he did upon Christ's obedience. The only place that we see in the scripture where Jesus said, you know, may this cup pass from me. But he said, not my will, but your will be done. And we know it was to fulfill God's plan. Christ coming into this world, dying for our sin, washing away the sins, our sins, that we might have eternal life. Now, God did not leave Jesus there abandoned, but he brought him back alive, right? He rose on the third day. He ascended into heaven. Now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and who we pray to each day. So this puts God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will before earthly needs of the people. Now, again, this being the model of prayer, it's our guide to prayer. And as his disciples, we should seek to follow him as we come before him each day or each time we pray. So now let's look at this particular, well, you know, I failed to put that up there. You know, when we think about the Lord's Prayer, it's a family prayer. It's coming together as a family, our own family, our family of God. You know, and I looked at that, it noted it's repeated our and us. So that makes us a family. It makes families come to God in prayer. And that's so important. So now let's look at seeking God's forgiveness. Seeking God's forgiveness, verse 12, and then verse 14 and 15. In verse 12, here we see we're told to ask for forgiveness of our debts. And so we pray. That's what we pray for. And the answer is both ours and others. So first, we must begin with ourselves. You know, forgive my prayer. Forgive me of my sins, okay? And then ultimately, we will still commit sin. We still do that after having become a Christian. And I tell people who make a decision to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That doesn't mean that you won't sin again, but now that you are a part of the family of God, you belong to him, you have that personal relationship, and you can go directly to the Father. You don't have to go through anyone else. You can go directly to the Father, and he will forgive you. But as Paul says in Romans 6, shall we sin so more grace will abound? And then Paul says, forbid it not that we would be even think about doing that. So when we come to the Father, we come to the Father, first of all, asking forgiveness of our own sin before we go and pray for others. So God wants us to be totally united with him in prayer. So, but when we think about our need to confess those sins when we approach him in prayer and worship. So when we go so he is faithful according to the verse I quoted a while ago, 1 John 1:9, it says, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if you haven't memorized this verse, I encourage you to do that. This is one of our verses I learned many, many years ago. And oftentimes I think about this verse and I quote it to myself as a reminder of what I need to do on a daily basis, that I not be unrighteous before God when I stand before you, or when I stand before God in myself and praying for others as well, that this verse, that He is faithful to forgive us. We need to be reminded of that, because He is just and He will forgive us of our sins. So it's important to ask God to forgive us of specific sins just as we're aware of. You know, sometimes we'll say, you know, in our prayers, I've heard people say, well, just forgive us all of our sins. Well, let's name them, you know, name those sins. He knows what they are, but He wants to hear from us. That it's a reminder of us, okay, yes, I committed this sin, so I bring it before your throne. You know, I can have a grocery list, but let's name them one by one. Don't we sing a song, Count Your Blessings, one by one? Yes. So why not confess our sins one by one? Now, we shouldn't let them stack up, right? And that's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit, to remind us each time we sin, and we're Christians, and our aim is to do good things, right? And do it right, and be righteous in our life before the Lord. But as human beings, we will slip up, we will foul up sometime and commit a sin, and the Holy Spirit will stop us right there and say, you know, you need to repent of that, Mike. You need to repent of this. And we do that. We must do that right then, and in order that our relationship with the Lord, not our salvation, but our relationship, not be hindered. Now, the second thing here we see, it says debtors. Debtors meaning others. Others that we're indebted to. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus told us that we should pray for our enemies. You pray for your enemies? You know, sometimes it's hard to do that, isn't it? When we see the evil that's going on within the world, and the way maybe you might be treated yourself or so. But an example of someone who prayed for their enemies is in Acts chapter 7, verse 60. When Stephen was being stoned to death, he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Isn't that something? When I think about that, you know, here they were stoning Stephen, being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, standing up, his testimony, his witness for God, and they were stoning him, and then he said, don't lay this to their charge. Jesus on the cross says, what? Lord, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The whole world, you and I put Jesus on the cross, and yet he forgave us. He died for us, that we might have eternal life. And that's unconditional love. That's that agape love that we talk about, that the scripture talks about, when Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Do you agape me? And Peter said, you know I do. And he asked him two more times. But that is what it means to confess, that we might experience God's grace. And it's good to pray that God will forgive others who have wronged us. But there is something else going on here that I want us to see here this morning. That as I was studying in this, You know, when you pray for wisdom and understanding, and God will convict, you know, ourselves or us or me of scripture and so forth, and point out specific things here. I think that we are to pray that we will have the ability and that we can truly forgive and let go. And the reason why this is so that we can be free of bitterness and inner turmoil. It will eat you up. It will eat you up if you're not willing to forgive others. No matter how harsh that can be towards you or towards anyone else, Jesus says you got to do it. If you don't, you want to have inner peace with me, if you don't want your prayers hindered, you've got to be willing to forgive. If not, you'll have bitterness and inner turmoil. And we can walk in the right relationship with God if we have forgiveness in our hearts. So I believe this can be better understood by looking at verses 14 and 15 now, that it speaks where it speaks about forgiveness. And verses 14, I want to read these two again, because it's very important that we get exactly what Jesus is saying and what he means when he says it. Jesus didn't say anything just off the cuff, but when he spoke wisdom, he spoke with power, and he spoke with authority in his scriptures. And when you see it, then you know Jesus was speaking directly to you and to me as he was then. So, in verse 14, going back to verse 14, well, the last two verses, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your Heavenly Father will forgive you also." And verse 15 said, "But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." Man, that's something to think about, isn't it? That is something very serious to think about. And it is hard to do sometimes. It is difficult. And we've all experienced this. I've experienced this. We still experience this in our life on a regular basis. But so how does being forgiven by God depend on us forgiving others? When we fail to forgive, we live again, as I said a few minutes ago, in bitterness. Bitterness is painful, it hurts, and it hinders our relationship with God. It does. If you feel like your prayers are not getting any further than the ceiling, do a quick check. Okay, Lord, what is it? Do I have sin? Is there something in there I haven't confessed? Is there something in my life? If I'm not totally obedient in my relationship with you, is there something there? Well, the Holy Spirit will convict you and reveal that to you. Now, instead, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And it could be looked at this way. Neither can your Father, I underlined that up there, your Father forgive your transgression. Neither will, but he can't do that because of his holiness and what he expects from you and me as his followers. So that resentment and bitterness are standing in the way. All right, now let's move on to seeking God's deliverance in verse 13, first part of verse 13. Jesus told us to pray and do not lead us into temptation. As I was reading and studying this particular verse, I was thinking about when Jesus went up to the Mount of Olives to pray. He took some of the disciples, He said, you stay here. I'm going a little bit further. I'm going to be talking to the Heavenly Father. I'm going to have my devotions with the Heavenly Father. You stay here and pray so that you will not what? Fall into temptation. Satan's going to be working on you while I'm praying. So you pray along with me. We are to pray along with each other. So do not lead me, you know, lead us into temptation. So now I want you to think about this morning. As I was thinking about it, as I was preparing this is not a prayer for strength to endure temptation, okay? It's not that at all. It is something entirely different, something new that I see. As we follow the Lord along the path of our life and we are guided by Him, we need to ask to be kept away from temptation. And the Apostle Paul says, abstain from anything or any appearance of evil or temptation. Stay away from it. If it looks bad, it is bad. If you think it is, don't do it. Now, in the New King James Version, it says, deliver us from the evil one. And then when you look at the KJV, King James Version, it says, deliver us from evil. So, the evil one or from evil. I mean, they kind of go together, right? We know who the evil one is. That's the devil, that's Satan. So we stay away. So that means this phrase is rightly translated as the evil one, and the evil one is the devil, or it's Satan. And that's why Jesus said, deliver us from that, or stay away from any temptation, anything that will lead you into committing sin. Now, let me remind you of this. Temptation is not sin, right? That's not sin at all. But it's when we fall in and follow through and commit that temptation that it becomes sin in our lives. That's what it means. So we must realize that he seeks to destroy the plans of God. Satan does. That's what he tries to do. Now, on your pastime today, this afternoon, or tonight, read Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, and Ezekiel 28, 11 through 15. Read those. That tells you all about the reality of Satan. All the schemes. You know, he was in heaven, but he got cast out because he wanted to become greater than God. So the Bible teaches us there is a devil. Jesus said there is a devil. James says, you know, he knows Scripture and he trembles. So we need to be reminded of that. When Jesus was baptized and went out into the wilderness, he was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, and he was tempted 40 days and 40 nights. He used Scriptures as his backup. He used Scriptures against Satan's temptations. He chose not to give in, and we don't have to give in either. We can choose. We have a choice to make a decision to do right or to do wrong. Let's be like Jesus. Let's not give in to any snares of Satan. So we've already prayed to honor and glorify the Father, that God's kingdom would be advanced. And I'm going back two Sundays ago. We talked about that, and the souls to be saved, for Jesus, for Christ to reign in the hearts of all people, that God would provide for our needs, and he does every day, and the needs of others. We talked about that and prayed about that, that God would forgive us our sins today, that we would forgive others, and that's what we're talking about today, that God would help us stay clear of temptation, Stay clear. Abstain from it. And these are the things that the devil does not want us to pray for. He doesn't want us praying this. And the last thing that we are to pray is Satan will not be allowed to hinder God's purposes. That's what he does not want us to pray. But we need to pray. That God put a protective hedge around our lives and others. We are responsible to pray for to keep us out and from temptation. So we must pray for God's hedge of protection, that the devil be kept bound. One of these days he would be bound, right? When the Lord comes back again, he will be cast in the outer darkness, Sheol or hell, Hades, permanently. Now, looking at our last point here this morning, and there is where we are to really focus upon our worship to God, seeking God's glory, his presence in our life. And this verse here is not specifically a need or a petition, but what I call it a declaration of praise. That's what this is. That's what Jesus is saying right here. Above all else and above all other focus, we must seek God's glory. That's what Jesus did from the very beginning of this prayer, recognizing the holiness and the righteousness of God, giving him glory for all things. That's a declaration of praise. Above all else, we ought to focus on his glory. See, prayer, oftentimes you heard me say, it is worship. So prayer and worship should both begin and end in adoration to God. We begin the Lord's Prayer by declaring, hallowed be your name, or as Isaiah in chapter 6 would say, holy, 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 my God Almighty. And here we are ending in by declaring God to be our King, by having power and ascribing all glory to him. So when we praise the Lord, we pray, we prepare our hearts for intimacy with God. And also Psalms, I picked up this verse here that goes along with what I wanted to say this morning. Psalms 22:3 says, you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Think about that. That's a beautiful, beautiful verse. You are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. You see, God draws near to us as his inhabitants, and he loves our praises. This morning, I think I quoted James 4:8, where it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to us. That's James 4:8. Isaiah also says, draw near to God while he can be found. So if we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. And he uses those most closest to him. Now, as we close this morning, you know, I like to just preach on this particular passage of scriptures. But this is a good reminder. Just go back and reread the Lord's Prayer. And it helps us to know how Jesus prayed, and it's the right way to pray. And since prayer involves glorifying God's name, seeking coming of the kingdom, and that's 2 Peter 3:12, and helping to accomplish God's will on earth, the one praying must not have sin in their lives or in their heart. You know, if God answers the prayers of the believer who had an unforgiving spirit, he would dishonor his own name. So if God gave believers their request, he would be encouraging sin. And Jesus and our Heavenly Father would not do that. So the important thing about prayer is not simply getting an answer, but again, going back to 2 Peter 3:12, glorifying God's name, seeking the coming of God's kingdom. That's the key right there. That's the key. Seeking God's kingdom. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, thank you for taking the time when you was here upon this earth and you went about doing good things, helping people, healing people, saving people. You took time to bring this message, this Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7, important time in the lives of people then, and your disciples who followed you and listened to you and wanted to know exactly what you were thinking, how the mind, your mind asked, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us the right way, the correct way, that our prayers will not be hindered, that the Heavenly Father would be glorified through our lives and through the activities that you bring about in our lives. That was their prayer. And that needs to be our prayer today. Lord, as we think about all the temptations in the world and all the things that we face in this world, Lord, we can be your prime witnesses. If we stand strong in your grace and your mercy, Lord, help each one of us to be very mindful as we pray and as we go about our daily activities, that we abstain from anything that gives any appearance of the things that you would not approve of in our life. And Lord, that way we can walk in the paths of righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, Jesus says, and all the other things that you need in this world will be given to you. Help us to remember that, Lord. Help us to pray your will be done, and it will be done. We just need to align ourselves with you, and we will have the abundance of joy and peace in our life if we do that. Lord, we praise your holy name. This invitation is your invitation, and what we do is respond to it. Come willingly as the Holy Spirit reveals to us, each one of us, what's in our life and what needs to be revised or be renewed, our relationship with you. Lord, may we be willing to take that step this morning in your name. Thank you, Lord.